Welcome back, Peppers. What a busy time in AFL Fantasy preseason it is. We have the scratch matches going on left, right, and centre, which is a fun time to be alive. I quite like to, have a look at them, do my own little write-ups. I usually write up for DT Talk, but I figure that can't be asked. And they've been baiting me with some of their chumpy little comments on social media. So not writing up for them. Also, they didn't ask me. Usually they ask me. So anyway, doing my own thing this year, which is writing up stuff for you, which you may have seen on Twitter. I had a look at the Swans and the Giants game, which was a bit of fun. Quite a good, heavily contested game. The nice hot match there from Tramways, aka that random oval next to the MCG. And I had a look at the mighty Lions dispatching the Gold Coast pretty easily, although they did play a weird six-quarter format. And then I think most of the good players came off at four-quarter time, if you will. I had five-quarter time. That looked absolutely ridiculous just to see that written on Twitter. Five-quarter time. What a joke. Yeah, anyway, the good players came off at four-quarter time and the VFL players went on and the Lions seniors had managed to rack up a 55-point lead. And then by the end of the sixth quarter, the Lions had only won by 1 point. So well done, VFL Lions, you spuds. Bodes well for the season ahead for you guys. Anyway, let's not dilly-dally. I want to try to keep a short, sharp pod, which I constantly struggle with and almost never done for this one because there isn't too much in the way of actual content. It's just me telling you about how stuff went at games. Anyway, so let's have a look at the Swans and the Giants match. So we'll start off with the Swans and what I thought out of there. First and foremost, Brody Grundy was dominant. Briggs actually had a pretty good day around the field. So if you've got Briggs in a keeper league or you've picked him in a draft late, I think that's fine. He was actually quite good. I don't know what his fantasy points were, but he looked good. So I think he'll be fine. But Grundy was all over him. So from a classic point of view and also a draft point of view, I suppose, I don't know where you get Grundy in a draft. I think looking really good, Grundy run ruck taps. He got around the ground. He picked up possessions. He tackled. He was everywhere. He was looking very good. So I think a lot of people have rightfully opted to start with Grundy in all formats, and I think you're doing very well there. Coming off other Giant premiums, Goulden played a half, which was odd. I don't know why they let him only play a half. Maybe that's what he just wanted to do, and he's too much of a jet that they just let him do whatever he likes. He did look really good. Got a lot of ball. His usage in his disposal was rubbish at times, but he certainly racked it up. And he looked in no concern at all, fitness-wise, so no idea why he only played half. So, yeah, very, very high on Goulden. I know he probably costs a lot of money from a classic point of view, and you have to take him with a very high pick from a draft point of view, but, yeah, do it and don't look back. Goulden was fantastic. What else did we have from a Swans point? Heaney looked really good. I know forwards are a problem. Did kind of fade in and out of matches, but was really impactful, and he had a lot of time in the midfield. So, liking the look of that. Papley was a solid option. I think he had 22 disposals or something. I don't know what his fantasy point was. Someone who's trying to sell him to me in a keeper league pointed out all his stats and told me how good he was. So, take that with a grain of salt, tackers. I'm not going to buy exactly what you're selling me, but I did like the look of it. I don't know if those stats were inflated. It didn't seem like he dominated 22 disposals, but I suppose that's not a huge domination. Anyway, Papley, solid draft prospect. Wouldn't touch him in keeper, but you never know. Oh, let's talk Warner. Chad Warner, not Corey Warner. Corey Warner came on, was kind of average. Will he get a game? Who knows? Bit of a spud, that guy. Corey, what a shit name. If you're called Corey out there, write in. Let us know if you're shit, because I reckon you are. Next, Corey. Sorry, distracted by Corey's, because they're poo. Chad Warner. Chad Warner was dominant. Probably one of the better players on ground. Got a lot of ball, ran through the midfield. Can't remember if he kicked a goal. Might have kicked a goal. Good stats here. Me not being sure if he kicked a goal. I should check that, actually. Hold on. He did kick a goal. So check that. I'm back. What a guy. Kicked two goals. So there you go. My memory is really faded. Says a lot for the rest of this pod. No, it's going to be epic. Good stats. Trust me on my stats. Warner, very good. Like the look of Warner. Definitely go with that if you're thinking about it. Well, easy pick in a draft. Classic, I don't know. Could do worse. Could do worse. Blakey actually looked really good. I don't know what his fantasy stats were again, but he seemed to be dominant at the back. Picked up a lot of ball. Has a weird haircut. You can call him the Snake, which is, fantasy's half about cool names which you can give people, especially in draft. So having someone, not the Snake, the Lizard, so you can call the Lizard, like from Spider-Man, tick. So yeah, looks good. Can call the Lizard. Yeah, I can't see why you wouldn't. So yeah, things are looking up for Blakey. All right, let's jump to Jordan. Jordan is a highly rated fantasy player, I guess, coming across in a trade. Gets the highlights, gets the hype from a classic perspective as well, because new stripes, lower price, potential upside. He was okay. His role was fine. A lot of people, I said on Twitter that he was average. I wouldn't bother him, and a lot of people were like, "Oh, Fantasy Freako and various other fantasy outlets said that he was really good. What have you got against him?" Well, I didn't like it. Sure, role might have been good, but he didn't pick up enough pill, and that's what fantasy is about: getting the goddamn ball and using it a lot. If you can't do that, then you're pretty average. So I say he's pretty average. Is average going to help you out in a classic? Maybe it will. Maybe it will. But yeah, for me, I'm going to balk on him at least until next week. Speaking of other guys who were average, Parker was okay in spots. Yeah, generally average. Spent a bit of time up for Wood, which is a worry. I'm worried about Parker being faded out of the midfield in general with the other younger kids coming through. Roberts gets a lot of press, especially this preseason. He was okay in patches. Again, not someone I'd bother with. Probably better options, but there were some highlights there which showed us that he could be good. Along with Florent. Florent was fine. It did okay in spots. Braden Campbell lit up the first quarter and a little bit, so that's one to watch. But again, kind of faded out. Don't know about him. Rowbottom, Lloyd, they're both kind of quiet. Apparently, I said that Lloyd was quiet in the first quarter and he hadn't turned up at all. But if you don't turn up, then you're going to be quiet. That's pretty obvious. Not being on the field is quiet. Yeah, didn't see enough from Lloyd to really touch him in any format. Probably going to get less of the ball with some of the guys rotating through the back line there. Don't know about that. Sheldrick did show up at the end. It was kind of promising. If you got him in a keeper, I think that's a good stash. Probably isn't going to light it up like he did at times last year, but one for the future. Don't mind Sheldrick. Don't mind Sheldrick at all. The other thing to note is Robbie Fox is not dead. Can confirm. I did see him out there, which means he's not delisted, which is a bewildering decision because he is a man who is not very good at football. People are going to come at me and say, "Oh, Robbie Fox, he did well, like in 1974, one game where he got 82 points." No, he's crap. Stay away from Robbie Fox. You wouldn't touch him in Classic unless you're a buffoon. And I advise not touching him in draft unless you've got a really, really, really stupid deep league like we have in BEP. And then you're probably gonna have to pick him because there's literally no one else to pick. But ideally, you would stay away from Robbie Fox. I don't think there was anyone else to mention from a Swans point of view. Yeah, Logan McDonald did pop up, kick four goals. Don't know what to make of that from a fan perspective. One to watch. With the forwards being the way they are, I guess you could do worse in a draft to pick him up kind of late. Will Haywood looked all right. He also got three goals, but the GWS defence was a bit leaky at times, which was odd because they do have some really good defenders, but they were just sort of off their game. The Swans run in a whole lot of easy goals out the back kind of shenanigans. Yeah, not the best defensive game from the GWS, but it's early in the season, so yeah. Those two potential looks in for late kind of drafting if you're short on forwards and want to punt forwards. Maybe you could do worse, so keep an eye on that, especially if you're Russ because he likes to punt forwards and smell bad. Yes, all right, let's have a look at GWS. So right off the bat, the first thing to notice was Tom Green was epic. Right up there with Warner and Grundy in terms of best on ground. Absolutely everywhere, just dominant. We talked about how Briggs was solid and probably a handy pick for a draft ruck. Cadman and Hogan were both good up forward all day, presenting, taking marks, kicking goals. Hogan did what he normally does and kind of tends to be a bit shit around goals at times, but potential upside for Hogan, especially in a year where we're struggling for forwards. Like if you could pick him up. I don't know how late you can pick him up in a draft because he gets a bit of press, but mid to late, yeah, that's quite good. I like the look of that. And Cadman, oh, key forwards. I don't know if you would kind of bloody what do you call it? Stash them in a keeper league. Really, there's better players to stash, but yeah, one to watch in terms of a keeper league forwards later on, maybe in a couple of years. Yeah, I don't think you could pick him in classic because it's probably too expensive either and his output's going to be crappy, but he's definitely one to watch. Certainly presented a lot, if not dragging down the marks. The other GWS mids generally kind of did what they do. I think there's going to be points for GWS midfield. Whitfield was quite good all day. Cogs was pretty good all day, so they're both, you'd be pretty happy with picking both of those. Kelly kind of faded in and out. I'm not so sure you'd want to pay up for Kelly based on that sighting, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they're two big backs. Not that you're really picking either of them because they're not fantasy relevant, but Buckley and Taylor had really good flashes and also, as I said, really bad flashes. They're usually a lot better defender than that. They let the Swans in a lot more than they should have. And yeah, some of the kids, like that Thomas bloke, he could be right one to watch. What's his name? Harvey Thomas? Harry Thomas, whatever it is. Harvey Thomas, yeah. He was all right across half forward. Quite liked the look of him. They also had that Ware bloke who's looking all right. If you're looking at grabbing some cheapy rooks from a keeper league perspective, keep an eye on Ware. He was all right. Who else did they have going all right today? Himmelberg gets a lot of press, well, basically from me and nowhere else, because everyone bags him out, especially the people in the Beck League who can go and get stuffed. He definitely played in defence, so no worries about his role there and whether or not it's forward or defence. The key issue with Himmelberg is he was not that good and didn't get a whole heap of ball, at least by my calculations, although I should double check his stats with old mate, what's he called, StatsMate, see what he got, let me have a look. AFL Central, that him. StatsMate's the guy who does the CBAs. CBAs are a bit overrated as a fantasy metric, but yes, guys like Brainerd get CBAs, doesn't get too many points. But anyway, he does have the fantasy points. So Himmelberg got 73, Lachie Whitfield 94, Tom Green 92. 92, geez, he looks a lot better than 92. Anything else to note? Buckley 70, Hogan 80. Yeah, not massive from the Giants' point of view, but the Swans. Chad Warner was 110. Brody Grundy with 101. What else did we have? Errol Goulden got 90 from a half, which was just reckless. Really, I'm going to call it reckless. Don't be so reckless. There you go. I haven't sung on a pod for a while. Eat it, Milne. I'll bring that back. People love that. Yeah. So they're the takeaways from that game. Yeah, Swans did it relatively easy, I think, in the end. The Giants' defense was a bit leaky. But yeah, solid game, and I think most players got what they wanted and some interesting things to watch for next week. So we move across to the mighty, mighty, mighty Lions, who played the Suns, and the Suns were pretty average. There was a 4-goal breeze, but never seemed to materialise for the Suns, who played a good midfield game, but their scoring never really got off the square, and they end up getting tailed up by 55 points. So good signs for the Lions, albeit that the Suns, I think they screwed around with their defenders, played some smaller defenders, and then just took off a lot of their guys towards the end. So they were probably using as a learning experience more than a game. So hard to take too much from that, but I will, and the Lions are going to win the flag. So there you go. There's my tip right there. All right, well, let's start with the Lions and the most obvious fantasy pick, which is Kidion Coleman, who I was a bit suspicious on because players that dominate in the finals often come out and do not so well in the regular season. So was it a role, or was it he just dominating and rising to the occasion for the finals and almost winning the flag, which I'm not going to forgive him for not actually winning us the flag. Thanks very much, Coleman. Fantasy flags not as good as real flags. Get with it. But yes, he was very good. Picked up a lot of the ball, looked really nice, seemed to be everywhere. Role was great. Did pick up a little bit of an injury late in the game, but by all reports from Mr. Whiting, the big fish, it was only a cramp. So maybe just a little thing to watch there, but yeah, nothing, no real problem. So he was very good. Dunkley looked classy. He did spend a little bit of time up forward, especially late in the game, which was an odd choice, but maybe they were trying to shift things around as a practice match. Something to watch there. McLuggage kind of faded in and out of the game, to be honest, but when he did pick up the ball, he looked classy. Does that mean he's not going to get huge scores and you want to stay away from him from a draft point of view or a point of difference from a salary point of view? I don't know. I'm going to say maybe. Heck, I need to get off the fence. Yes, stay away from him high in a draft and point of difference in a classic, because I think it could burn you. It is probably expensive. Rayner. Freaking enigma wrapped in a puzzle, that guy. Did spend a lot of time in the middle, but wasn't super impactful. I noticed the write-up from the AFL website said he was a gun and he looked classy and he did everything, but he did look classy. He just didn't get it that much and do that much with it. From a fantasy perspective, I think he's maybe just that Cyril Rioli type. You know, you can write all about him, but no one ever picks Cyril. No one was taking Cyril in a fantasy, despite how good he was, because he's just that impact guy. Rayner might continue to be that guy. Need to see more next week if I would have had any chance of picking him. But hold on to him in a keeper league, but you're not going to be excited about it. Bailey, similar role, although he just excited me more and he did more things. I think he seemed to have a lot of the ball and just be on the screen lots, but maybe that's because he's just dreamy. I don't know. Gets my attention, so maybe that's a slight bias. But I'll check out his stats. Should we check? Let's jump into the stats again with old mate Central, see what he's got for it. Okay, he's all over the shop, this Central bloke. Sometimes he's got fantasy points, sometimes he's got disposals, sometimes he's got them for the full game, sometimes he's got them from three-quarter time. Like, freaking pick a lane, dude. I appreciate your stats, but be consistent. How am I supposed to analyze and talk to no one on the internet if I can't get a consistent flow? Nevertheless, Zach Bailey, 19 disposals, 10 effective disposals, 7 marks, 2 tackles, 1 goals, 2 behinds, and 2 frees 4. And someone had asked him, has Bailey kicked a bag or midfield? And he presented the stats, which doesn't answer the question. Maybe I should go in and answer the question for him. Yes, because I'm a genuine bloke, community looker after all. I'm going to go and answer this guy's question. Okay, I said he had runs in the midfield and looked good while there, but will pinch hit. Ironically, that is also still a little vague, but I feel better for Mr. Pikey AFL for answering your question, Pike DT. So you can thank me by sending me cash to lockbag 274 crow's nest. No, that's like the funniest home videos address for some reason I still remember. Don't send money there unless you really like funniest home videos, which people do. Okay, where did we get up to? We were looking at Lions players, which is always a good thing to do. Tunstall was a smoky. I should actually check whether he's cheap in fantasy, because he looked good, got a lot of ball, seemed to be preferred over some of the others in that role of still earlier in the season, and there was a few out, like Berry and Neil and you know, others. So could potentially get punted from the team as well, but it's an interesting little watch there, Mr. Tunstall, 286k forward, so that's very handy, because he seemed to play more the back in the midfield, to be honest. If he's getting a game, you are locking that in, because I liked it a lot. That is bargain price. Charlie was dominant again. What Dimmer was doing, I think, was giving his crapper defenders kind of a learning experience on development experience, as they say at work, which just means you're going to get chumped and love it, or we'll fire you, which is probably what Dimmer said. Get chumped, love it, or you're getting fired. They did get jumped. 5 goals in like a quarter and a half, and then he kind of slowed down and went off the field. Yeah, absolutely crushed those small defenders. Look good. You could do a lot worse than Charlie as a draft forward. He seems to get forgotten. I've got him in a lot of leagues. Yeah, handy. And he comes out like he's not a consistent guy, but he's going to get 120 like once every 3 weeks, and you're just going to be like, take that to the bank. Lohman, possible cash cow. That's come up. He only played a quarter, but he looked quite good. So yeah, keep an eye on Lohman. He again, I don't know if he's going to get in his side. That's probably his big issue. But he, there's something for the fans out there for Lohman. Big O, often be seen as a ruck that's hard to score against, but he was not. He got pummeled in the ruck, by my view. It didn't seem to affect the game much, but Witty was all over him and Witty was dominant. So there's often a trend that Lions rucks are hard to score against, for things like scale of hardness. I don't think that's going to be a key. So if Calvin says that Lions rucks are hard to score against, I'd take a little asterisk there and be like, I don't think so, Calvin. I'll take you down. But don't take him down because he seems like a nice guy. I mean, a wrong nice guy, but a nice guy. Like Nuck, he's a nice guy that's often wrong and doesn't really have a clue, but he seems like a nice guy. Nuck, I like Nuck. For someone that doesn't know a lot about fantasy, real genuine bloke. Okay, let's jump over to the Suns. Now, number one, people worry about Dimmer's game plan and how it's not midfield friendly. It seemed midfield friendly last night again, but it's a practice match, and he seemed to let the mids do what they do, which is roam around and get the ball. Miller and Rao were probably my best two mids, probably best two of the players for the game, certainly best two of the Suns. They absolutely dominated. Rao, I really like the look of. Let's see what he's valued at. 830K. Well, it's a bit exy, but I suppose it's like a slightly less premium. So if you're going to get premium scoring from him, go ahead and do it. Absolute keeper league star. Draft, if you're looking for mids, you could get him a little bit later, and he could be a big option. So kind of a sleeper guy there. But yeah, classic, I think. 830K coming down from another premium if he's going to get premium scores, which let's say I'm backing him to do. The only problem is he's a ranger, and ranger's a rangery. Anderson was a little bit down on those two, still fine, but a bit down on the other two, in my theory. The Flanders role was really good, so. Yeah, but people obviously say Flanders are going to be the dominant forward. Whether he's the dominant forward, I don't know. He wasn't epic, like he wasn't huge, and I don't know if we can expect him to be fantasy huge all the time, but his role's definitely friendly, and the forwards are, skinny. So if you're picking up Flanders at F1, high in a draft, you wouldn't have seen anything to stop you doing that. I'd still be questioning that strategy in general, but yeah, nothing there to say that Flanders is going to be crap. Just maybe not hugely epic. The Sexton does play off the halfback, and he did look quite good, but he didn't get a huge amount of ball. But the role is definitely there. Again, I don't think it's probably going to cost you huge money, and you wouldn't pay huge money in a draft. And what's he valued at? I don't think he's huge money in classic either. 382K forward. Yeah, plug it in. I think it's fine. Don't expect it to world, but I think it'll be quite good. Noting that Tom Rockliffe did say that that was the perfect role, so Rockliffe would know. That said, he's a pretty crap commentator, we found out last night. If you want to check the game out, maybe turn the sound off, because Rockliffe and his mate BT, whoever the hell that was, not very good commentators. Says me, who spends a lot of time talking to myself. Yeah, probably a little bit hypocritical, but I'm going to throw stones in this glass house. And hope that I opened a vent somewhere. Wits, we spoke about Wits, absolutely dominant. Great draft ruck option. I own him in a lot of places. And I'm being a little bit, what's it called when you like to talk about yourself? Cool? I'm going to go with cool. It was cool. Being talking about yourself and talking yourself up is cool. I think it's like called freaking narcissistic or something, but I like cool. Anyway, he was good. Yeah. Real good draft ruck option. Classic ruck option, probably. Let's have a look. 820K. If you're coming down from a big guy, yeah, sure, I like that. Budaric's one to watch. He got a bit of ball, looked good. He died a couple of years ago in fantasy, effectively. Broke his life. I can't remember. I remember it being pretty epic. I think I owned him in a keeper league at the time and threw him on the scrap heap and never looked back. I still probably won't look back, but.
He's in the free agent pool somewhere, I think, in our keeper league. So that could be one to look at. Yeah, definitely one to watch from a classic point of view. Fiorini was on the wing, which is an interesting one for Fiorini. Dimmer doesn't seem as inside mid by the looks. So what does that mean for him? He did get a bit of ball and he looked okay with it, but not the huge numbers that you'd expect. So don't expect too much from Fiorini, but a very, very late draft pick and hope for the best. And yeah, it might be something there. McPherson, the McPherson role was interesting because he got a lot of points off, like in the back line last year, where he seemed to have a forward line role. He still seemed to get the ball and be noticeable, but yeah, that new role is interesting, especially the Suns forwards are kind of crappy. Speaking of Suns forwards, Ainsworth did quite well, certainly quite noticeable. I mean, he wasn't, your Miller, your Anderson, your Rowell types, even your Flanders types, but I think he's going to be a high value forward in a draft league. So yeah, certainly I would be drafting him reasonably high in terms of forwards anyway. So yeah, and if you did that, got him as your F2, I think you'd be very happy with that. I think Ainsworth, there's enough there to say Ainsworth's going to be quite good, quite useful this year. And Bailey Humphrey, flashes of Bailey Humphrey, keeper league stash, possibly future keeper league gun this year. I don't know what he's going to do, but he just shows enough, I think, last night to say that yes, certainly have a look at him, one to watch. And Ben King, just kind of funny guy. I quite like Ben King. He could be a good forward in years to come, even an actual football forward this year. But fantasy, yeah, I don't think so. Ethan Reed, they call him the unicorn, because apparently he can play it anywhere. He's one to watch, especially from a keeper league rookie perspective. That closey guy. Interesting scenes from those two. Don't mind it. That's pretty much it from those two games. Yeah, so we'll have a whip around the ground at the other games and kind of just look at the big talking points from some of the other games. So Richmond played Melbourne on Sunday. They had a big couple of big mids out, like Dusty and a few of the others. So some of their CBAs are not to be taken seriously. Toronto, was Toronto out? I think so. I'd have to double check that. But yeah, Thompson Dow, probably the big guy. He got a lot of CBAs. He got a fair amount of disposals. He did something silly like get 23 disposals for 64 fantasy points, which is honestly rubbish. Big ups on the men's from Swan Hill. As you know, I love the Dows. We love the Dows here at the Break Even Podcast. At least my dad does. But yeah, good signs from Thompson Dow. Again, whether or not he kind of keeps his spot with Taranto and Dusty missing, even guys like Baker, which is apparently going to play through the midfield a bit more, still missing. So yeah, big asterisks on that Thompson Dow performance, but yeah, it was all right. Caleb Windsor found a bit of the football. He looked all right. Who else did well in that game? Clayton Oliver came back, looked okay. Nothing untoward from an Oliver perspective. Probably the big issue there, his mate got done for cocaine trafficking, so I can't see how Oliver's not involved in that, but his mate will probably take the rap for whatever Oliver did, just like Dusty's mate did years ago. So the AFL has a good way of kind of sweeping things under the carpet and finding a spud fall guy to go to jail for Stars misdemeanors. But hey, we know how that rolls. Yeah, in which case, Oliver's probably going to get off scot-free and do it again at some point. And then make a mess of his career post-football. That's where my money's at. Anyway, Petrarca was quite good. Viney was quite good. Bolton did a bit. I like the look of Bolton. Max Gawn wasn't impressive as you might have thought, but Nank's all right. He did a bit in kind of negating Max. Not too sure. There was much more to note out of that game. Really? No, let's move on to the next one. North and the Pies. Okay, the obvious thing here was Sheasel came out and dominated, got like 141 fantasy points and a billion possessions. Yeah, if you want to pick Sheasel, even if you don't want to pick Sheasel, just pick Sheasel. Don't be an idiot. If you're thinking of not picking Sheasel, have a look at yourself in the mirror. and ask yourself why you're such a dead shit, and pick Sheasel. McKercher was quite good. He's had a lot of raps. Oh yeah. I don't know about his name. Colby. Colby is a real shit cheese. But yeah, rookie wise, keeper and classic. You can't go wrong with McKercher. Probably even a draft, a sneaky pick later on, I think will be fine. Wardlaw gets a lot of raps from around the place. I don't see it, but apparently he was, I think he had limited minutes, getting off at halftime, but apparently quite good. What else we got here? Interesting points from that. That probably was about it. Yeah, she's all. There was a couple of other guys. Reece McGuinness, Finn McRae. He has had some interesting scratch matches leading up, but wasn't much good that time. Yeah, McKercher, Harry Shearer. Oh, Tom Powell found plenty of the ball, oddly, but I really doubt he's going to get a game in the actual team. He has been just a tease for years. I think if he ever does get a game, he could be quite good, but they could also just not give him a game and delist him at the end of the season. Real interesting keeper prospect, Tom Powell. He obviously has the skills, but yeah, for some reason, people don't like him at North. Don't know why North has an interesting culture. Let's not speak about Taron Thomas. The less said about that guy, the better, but it kind of shows you what North is going on about. So if you can't get a game at North, maybe there's something wrong with you. Just gonna put it out there, Tom Powell. You don't break into the side, I'm gonna cast some dispersions! And cast them pretty hardcore. All right, dispersions aside, let's move on to the next game. The Cats and the Blues. Cats got a hold of the Blues, apparently, according to all my Cats fans, friends, which is no real surprised. They love talking about the Cats and how good they are, even though I don't think they're going to be good and they'll probably be kind of average and not make the eight. So if you're one of those guys who's a Cats fan and you're listening to this because you like to hear about the Cats, I don't think they'll be very good. Okay, don't hold it against me, or do. I don't really care. No, don't, because you won't shut up about it in the group chat. Okay, getting off the Cats. And then bagging out some of the Cats because Guthrie played about 9 seconds and then went down. There has been some talk that he will be better than last year and quite a good kind of draft and maybe even classic perspective. But he's hurt himself, hurt his calf quad, he hurt his quad, so he'll be out for a few weeks. May not make it back in time for the start of the season, which can't be good. Can't be good. Max Holmes was pretty good. Joe Clark was all right. Yeah, Raisio Passager wasn't very good. What else happened in that game? I'm just reading. I really didn't watch much of this game. Just kudo note that Walsh and Wiedering and a few others didn't play. And we did touch on Max Holmes. Mitch Duncan didn't do too much. He's got a new role across halfback, which is one to watch. Oh, let's go and grab some stats because this write-up's saying nothing. Here we go. Serra was good. What did he have? 19 disposal, 3 marks, 3 tackles. Ollie Holland's 14 disposals. That's interesting. Paddy Cripps, 19 disposals. Probably a little down on his usual output, but pre-season, what can you do? Nick Newman, 21 disposals. So Nick Newman's one of those guys, high defender rank. I think he might like had a D2 at D3 for mine. So yeah, draft watch, pick up Nick Newman. Early, pretty good. Yeah, Max Holmes, 18 disposals. Kieran Myers, 18 disposals. Don't like Kieran Myers. I just don't. He's just a fantasy jobber. He's just meh a lot of the time. I'm probably one of those guys who take him late in the draft and you're happy enough, but you never go out of your seat and go, "Wow, Kieran Myers, fuck me!" No, you don't, because he's boring. Pick Kieran Myers and don't tell me about it because I'm not interested. Okay, on to the next, Matt. I think that brings us to today, in which we talk about the Dogs and the Hawks. Now there was a standout here. Sanders, I think, got a lot of talk on Twitter. Mid 285K, yep. Draftee. Keep a little rookie. Keep an eye out for that. Very good. Cam McKenzie was also good. Speaking of keeper league rookies, you wouldn't probably touch him in classic because he's worth 439K, which is too much. Carl Amon didn't play. Jack McRae obviously didn't play. Let's take a quick look and see who else was good out of this game. Massimo D'Ambrosio got 26 disposals and a small pasty. Didn't get a pasty, but he could have. Henry Huswait, whoever that is. 26 disposals. Yeah, have a look at that. Don't mind that. The Bont had 20 disposals against Box Hill. Don't know why he played against Box Hill, according to Stats Guy. Riley Bonner got a lot of press. He had 54 at quarter time. Went on to get a decent score, certainly in a big quarter. I can't recommend Bonner, but it's one to watch, I suppose. Certainly interesting. I'm not sure. I didn't get too much else out of that game. I didn't really have a look at it. Just the Sanders hype, pretty much, and the Bonner hype. I can't think of anything else that happened. Just read the report, like anyone could, I guess. But you're listening to me, so you can hear me talk about the report. Nothing else jumps out. Okay, next match. So that's the last one. The St Kilda match this afternoon. What did we have out of this? The couple of big things. Nick Martin looked really good. Riley Bonner, we talked about, who apparently got 101 fantasy points in the end. Dyson Heppel was, all right, 52. Oh, that's at halftime, yeah, 52. Must have been okay. Other guys to talk about. He seems to only have the. Where are the stats that I'm looking at? Here we go. Jack Steele, 99. Wanganeen Malera, who has big raps, 82. Massimo ended up with 86, and Henry Huswait ended up with 104. Oh, here we go. Some stats from the other team. There we go. Tom Libbott. They did mention actually Tom Libbott was doing what he generally does, and he looks good going ahead this year. 34 disposals, 6 marks, 4, 6 tackles, 4 marks, 3 inbounds, 50s, 2 inside 50s, 1 goal, 1-3-4, 125. So that's pretty handy stats. Nick Caulfield, 18 disposals. Jack Ginnivan. I don't even want to talk to you about Jack Ginnivan, so I won't. Because I don't like him. Now he had 14 disposals, so that's fine. A couple of goals, but can you rely on the goals? No. Can you rely on him also to not be in jail at some point? Big on guys are going to jail. Oh, look, he's got like a really long hair with just a bad headband. Yeah, ugh, that's black. Don't touch him. Back to this game. Yeah, Wood 85, memory Marshall. Marshall with a 97, which is pretty solid. You'd be happy with that. Obviously, you're not going to get them dominating. I wonder what. I don't really think he had the stats, the fantasy stats, not yet for English. Don't know what you want to see from English in a preseason match. Not getting injured, I guess, is the main thing, because sometimes he can do that. Anything else to note? MP had a down one, but it doesn't say what had time on ground. Jay Newcomb only got 54, so that's another thing. But you never can really tell how hard players try when they get crappy scores. You can tell when they look bad, but the fantasy scoring of badness doesn't really tell you anything. Yeah, hard to say. 29 disposals for Nick Martin, so that's one to watch. I think Essendon got pummeled in the end. Let me double check the scores. Yes, they did get pummeled, 106 to 40 in a preseason match versus what I'm assuming to be a pretty average St Kilda side. Sorry to the St Kilda fans out there, but I don't think they're going to be much good. Mid-table, 10th. They're going to finish 10th. You've got to get off the fence, so they're going to be 10th. Interesting to note, obviously Paddy Dow is injured. He didn't play, so if you're looking for stats on them, you won't get them. Don't know what happened to Doosma. I was looking for Doosma, but I don't know what he did, if anything. Match report says Doosma played on a wing, alternating with Elijah Tastis. Didn't say whether he did good, didn't say whether he did bad, which probably means he did bad. Old Mate AFL Central doesn't have stats for Doosma. It's stats for a lot of other players, which again, not a good sign. Someone even asked him, hey, give me the stats for Doosma, and he didn't do it, which I'm not surprised because I wouldn't have done it either. But I'm going to go and beg him. There you go, begged. I will let people know how he goes. Actually, it probably won't. So that brings you pretty much up to speed on all the practice matches. I think there's a Port one tonight. Port must be playing someone. I'll keep an eye on that. I'm not going to cover it with my little statsy comments. I might do the one tomorrow night, Eagles and Frio, as that lines up pretty well with things. Times I'm going to be doing nothing for in the middle of the night, so. Because West Australia time is screwed if you're from Perth. Well, you know what we think about Perth, but Short answer is we don't like it, and it's crap, and your time zone's crap, but sometimes it can be useful from a fantasy perspective. So there you go. There's one thing going for you, Perth. Put that in your bag and smoke it. Cool. So yeah, might check those out. But yeah, that's the wrap on all the fantasy goss going about in this busy week of preseason matches. So keep following Bep and probably other accounts like this Statsmate, AFL Statsmate, who gives you the CBAs, and AFL Central, who gives you the fantasy things, which I think is just like watching and writing down kicks, which is just way too keen. Just a massive keno. It's probably going to block me now, which is going to be annoying for future reports. But hey, that happens, just like the way I lost my Keeper League sub for bagging them out. More for me, because I kind of need that for my rookie analysis. I'll have to steal it from somewhere else. Or just hack Age's account, because that might work. You never know. Anyway, I think we're done here. So peace out, Beps. Enjoy another fun week of fantasy, and we'll catch you on. Pew-pew!